Let's go ahead and call this meeting to order, Committee of the Whole. I am Don Cummings. I am Second Ward, one of the Second Ward Aldermen, chairing my first meeting. Roll call? We won't need to do a roll call. I see that we have Alderman Dantino via phone. We're missing Alderman Marks. Otherwise, everyone's here. I need that. First item on the agenda is to consider the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Hill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ralph, could you also give your name, please?
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Motion passes. Second item on the agenda is to approve the Committee of the Whole minutes from February 13, 2012. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Brown?
That's what we did. Actually, you just did that with the consent agenda.
Oh, that was the consent agenda.
That includes.
We're just testing you, Alderman.
Yes. Okay. So you're good.
We're on to item number four, items of business. Item A, recommend approval of requests for street closures for the Fox Valley Marathon on September 16.
Move approval.
Yes. And we have some guests. Oh, very good.
You coming up, Craig?
The shy one. Dave Shedley, St. Charles, Illinois, Fox Valley Marathon, and
Craig Bixler, St. Charles as well.
Sure, S H E B L E.
B I X L E R.
Thank you. You can tell us your best times.
Oh, that.
This is the guy.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Although he won't tell you, his daughter just won the Austin Marathon last week.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's pretty good news for the area. So.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Cool.
You know, before we go, we do have some news. We added last year the Fox Valley Kids Marathon. And this is where kids come out all summer and agree to run 1 mile or so, run or walk 1 mile a week all summer. And then they come out race day and they run their last 1.2 miles for a total of 26.2. It was a huge success. Parents loved it, got the kids off the couch all summer. It was a huge success. We're here to tell you that it is now the CASA Fox Valley Kids Marathon. So you'll like the Geneva tie-in there. So you'll hear more about this in the future, but we just announced that today. So
is Gloria Bunce going to be running the marathon?
She's been with us each of the first 2 years.
Okay, good.
So.
Are there any questions?
Year one, yes.
Year one she was there, yeah.
She was not there.
No.
This is a full marathon, right?
So a full marathon. It's actually a half marathon, a 20-mile race, and a full marathon all at the same time on race day. This is our third year. We are a top 30 Boston qualifier nationally. We are this year, with total projected registration, this will be the largest sporting event in the Fox Valley area by participants.
We can find you on the internet under Fox Valley.
Sure
Marathon.
Can.
Yes.
I encourage you to do
in
so.
In order
yeah.
to sign up? Not me, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, registration's what, right there.
How many towns do you go through?
We go through five towns, five park districts. So we really involve the entire Fox Valley area. It's become quite popular already. Our registrations for this year are running about 150% over last year. We have runners coming from Brazil, Canada, all across the United States. All coming to the area, and they don't just come race day. A lot of them come all summer long to try the course out, to see the area. More importantly, we have about 91% from Illinois and something like 163 communities, I think, right now. So people are coming to this area that perhaps didn't come here before, and that's what you want.
Very good.
So,
Alderman Singer?
Yes. Did one qualify for the marathon?
I'm sorry?
Can one qualify for the Boston Marathon?
Sure can. We are presently a number 28, I think, 28. In North America for Boston qualifying, which is a big reason why runners come here.
What's the time?
It varies by your age.
Oh.
So the older you get, the slower you can run is generally how it works. So you don't have to get faster, you just have to get older, which is usually the easier part. But it's a good reason why people come here, because that's become quite a, especially recently, it sold out in one day a couple of years ago. So
great.
Yeah.
Good. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good. There's something for everyone. That's great.
You have a question?
I had one.
Alderman.
Sure, absolutely.
No, I just wanted to, as I read through the materials as related to the event, I wanted to also thank you and your organization for the sizable donation that you make to a number of very worthwhile charities in the Fox Valley that benefit from this event. And talking about five figures, and you're looking at agencies that are struggling to make ends meet. Your philanthropy, your contribution is, I'm sure, greatly appreciated, and I commend your willingness to give back to the community, and I wish you the best of luck in a few months.
Thank you. It's very important to us.
Absolutely. This was one of our goals going in. Here's a chance we can help out our neighbors. We all get to a point where we might need help. And it was one of our big goals, and to stay local. There's a lot of charity marathons that do leukemia or American Cancer Society. We wanted to keep the money right here in the communities.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Could you give a quick rundown on the local charities that are that benefit from the marathon?
Yeah, there's eight. It was from memory because it was easier when there were four the first year. Tri-Cities Family Services, CASA, Northern Illinois Food Bank, Lazarus House, Day One, Literacy Advocates, Hesed House,
and
Moose Heart. There you go. Did it. That was easy.
Thank you.
Sure. Are you gentlemen going to be at the CASA event on Saturday night?
Don't believe I'm going to be able to make it.
Yeah,
Saturday.
Well, not either. Yeah, unfortunately.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sure.
Thank you.
All in favor for the approval of requests for street closures for the Fox Valley Marathon?
Aye.
Ralph Santino, aye.
Against? Motion passes. Item B. Recommend approval of requests for police services, barricades, and street closure for St. Mark's Episcopal Church Palm Sunday processional.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Any comments? No? Motion passes. Item C. Recommend approval of requests for use of right-of-way for six A-frame signs for the State Street Dance Studio use of facilities for the Geneva Film Festival.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill, Mantra. And any questions?
If I can just make a few comments. This is the fifth annual film festival, and there's a different venue this year, so I'd like to point that out. All of the showings will be at State Street Dance, and folks will enter on State Street under the marquee to come on in, and there will be two rooms, and everything will be held up there this year. And Scott Rolfe and Tom Crenshaw are doing a great job as the committee chairman. So it's a Cultural Arts Commission event. Okay.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Passes. Item D, recommend a draft ordinance amending Title 10, Chapter 4, adopting the 2009 edition of the International Fire Code.
Second.
Questions, comments?
How much does this change, Chief? Is it just change in detail?
It's strictly housekeeping. We're updating the code from our current 2003 edition to the 2009 edition, and as a result of the updates to the
to the actual national standards, we are actually able to eliminate some of our existing amendments that are no longer necessary because they're built into the new code.
You've been training to the new code, I presume, ever since it was promulgated. Is that correct?
Correct.
So this really is housekeeping.
It really is.
If I understand this correctly, the open burning policies or ordinances that were adopted were incorporated into this then as well?
Word for word.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Just a comment. Nice job of putting it all together. It seemed to be a task unto itself. So
it's a lot of. We literally go through every page of this book to do.
I would
that.
Imagine. Yeah.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item E, recommend approval of draft resolution stating intent to join WaterSense Partnership.
So moved.
Second.
Good evening. I just have a quick couple slides here just to give you a little bit more information on, let me find it here. Oh, there we go. Give you a little bit more information. This recommendation is for through not only the City of Geneva, but also Metro West Council of Government and the Northwest Water Planning Alliance, which Geneva is a member of. WaterSense is a new program that is, which everything about it meets the, sorry. Thank you. It's a nationally recognized program sponsored by the US EPA that promotes water conservation and efficiency. The program seeks to protect the future of our nation's water supply by offering people simple way to use less water with water efficient products and services. Those products and services that have earned the WaterSense label have been certified to be 20% more efficient without sacrificing performance. This being a promotional partner with the US EPA and WaterSense, there is no cost to the city. The degree to which the city promotes WaterSense is entirely up to us and based on our available resources. And the only requirement is to provide an annual one-page report of our activities to the EPA. The benefits of WaterSense for Geneva and the communities who become partners is we will have access to promotional materials like bill inserts and magnet designs, press releases, and public service announcements. Most importantly, it's a nationally recognized program, which provides a unifying message for the region and the nation about the importance of water conservation and efficiency. So that's just a brief example of what WaterSense is about and the benefits that will become of it, and I would appreciate your moving along with this recommendation to become a partner. Take any questions. Thank you.
I have.
Oh, I'm sorry. Alderman Singer.
Thank you. Robert, we pretty much follow some of these patterns at this point in time anyway, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of this is what we most communities already promote. The nice thing about it is I think a lot of communities around here are not unison in what we promote, so this will help do that.
Yeah. Will this in some ways possibly benefit the city when you are seeking some financial assistance from the federal government?
Could be in the future, sure.
Yeah.
No guarantees, but...
No. Sure. Okay, fine. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Actually, Alderman Singer asked the question or commented on where the area that I was going to comment on. And just to say that I'm glad that you presented it because I was confused with the labeling and I didn't understand.
Sure.
So I was grateful that you presented a little bit of a bio on it. Thank
okay.
you.
Good.
So I have a question. It says, second bullet point, by offering people a simple way to use less water with water-efficient products and services. So somehow we're going to get information to people about what is a water-efficient product?
Correct. There'll be the WaterSense will have a label itself, very similar to like a little droplet of water is my best way to describe it. And on those products that you will purchase at the store or whatever else will have that label. And we will also, once we become a partner, we'll also gain more information that will be given to us that will be available on our website.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All in favor of approval of the draft resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Constantino, aye.
Motion passes. Item F, recommend draft ordinance revising purpose and intent of the L1 light industrial, I-1 light industrial district and expand list of permitted and special uses in the I-1 light industrial district.
So moved.
Second.
Questions, comments?
Good evening, Dick Arnsch, Director of Community Development. This amendment is really generated based on experience staff has had over the last several years of having businesses that are interested in locating in our industrial zoning districts, our light industrial zoning districts in the city, for uses that are really not allowed in those areas. And so we've gone through three different individual amendments. And we have some other prospective uses that are considering going into these areas, and again, they're not allowed. So really, this is an effort to create some added flexibility into our zoning regs regarding use permissibility, while at the same time being mindful of the purpose of a light industrial district and making sure that those uses that we would consider as being added to the light industrial district not pose any land use compatibility issues with the intent of the district or the other uses that are located within it. So the Plan Commission conducted a public hearing on February 9th and has recommended unanimously approval of the draft ordinance. There are 27 additional uses that are listed in the ordinance as being permitted uses, and three uses that would be special uses or requiring further public hearing before they could be allowed on the property. Also, some verbiage in the intent clause, which really spells out the purpose of a zoning district. Some language has been added there that makes reference to the inclusion of office, business, service, and compatible commercial uses into this environment. Questions, I'm available to address them.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I look at them, some of these I would almost categorize as light industrial services. Now that the economy is moving more and more towards service industry, some of these things like athletic facilities and that sort of thing are it's a service that requires a light industrial setting. So
that's exactly it.
Exactly, yeah. What we're doing here, I think.
Yeah, and what you find in many communities, frankly, is recreational facilities that require tall ceiling heights of buildings that are often found in industrial areas tend to be attractive locations for those kinds of uses.
So in no sense are we making our light industrial areas less nice to live next to. I mean, this is what you worry about in zoning, that we're somehow
exactly
relaxing the zoning requirements. But in this case, I don't think there's any indication of that. These are uses which are which are, if anything, lighter uses than the traditional light industrial uses.
Right. Many of them are. I guess we're relaxing it in that we're opening opportunity for more, a broader range
except
of uses.
Except for maybe the parking issue. And that's where I might wonder if this is opening up. Some of these, so what I would categorize as light industrial services, have fairly large parking requirements. So I don't know what are the parking requirements currently built into the I-1 zoning regs.
Well, actually, the parking regulations are not tied to the zoning district. They're tied to the particular use. And so the parking requirements change depending on the particular use. So those, all these uses, and you can see on page 2 of the draft ordinance, there are numbers behind each of the uses. Those make reference to another section in the zoning ordinance where the parking requirement for that particular use is identified. So there's really no change there.
Thank you.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you. What was the primary motivation for us to move in this direction? Did we have individuals come forward and ask us to develop these forms or these products within that area?
What we found, and I'd say that the areas where we've had the most activity have been along Stevens Street and along Gary Lane, where we are getting users that are interested in moving into these industrial buildings.
Okay.
That we found is not being either in conflict with the intent of the I-1 district or in conflict with the existing uses that are present in these areas. And we had to say, no, you're not allowed. The zoning district doesn't allow you. And so over the past 3 years, we've done 3 separate amendments with individual business people coming forward and petitioning the city for a text amendment to allow them to locate in the district, the I-1 district. So we felt it better to just take a comprehensive look at this and develop a list of all that we could anticipate that might come up. And it's not golden. We may have other uses that will surface, but we've really tried to look at what other communities are doing in this regard. And really look at the uses in a way to kind of say, well, it's not an industrial use, but it's a use that could be compatible with these other industrial uses and kind of fits the area. For example, what we have found, many of these businesses that require either some kind of storage space or ancillary facilities to a retail operation in town are looking for that extra square footage. They don't want to pay the prime rental rates to locate in a higher visibility commercial area, and they just want to have some additional space for their business.
You're in referencing
warehousing, or
I was just going to say you're referencing to forms of warehousing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Also, studios, photography studios, aren't necessarily really tied to prime locations. You can't think of other ones offhand, but we've had a number of them come forward. And interior decorating services, that type of thing, where you've got an office and you may have some inventory present, but you don't need that prime retail location.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about why or what was the reasoning behind the permitted uses, and then you go on to only include 2 special uses. Was there some reason to that madness, I guess?
We didn't really have special uses that we needed to add. That many of them we felt were appropriate to allow.
I was just wondering why you didn't throw them up into the, just use them as permitted uses or
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, what was the logic behind the special
uses? The special uses that require the additional public hearing.
Yeah.
We have had an experience dealing with automotive service uses and the car care center where you've got storage of vehicles, storage of automotive parts. There are service bays involved. It tends to be a more involved kind of commercial business, and we felt that may not be compatible with a business zone a light industrial zone without going through the public hearing process. So it's another layer of protection, basically, to make sure it's compatible.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you, Dick. All in favor?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Motion passes. Item G, recommend draft ordinance amending Randall Center planned unit development to allow veterinary clinics excluding kennel as permitted use at 1115 Randall Court.
You get me on this one, too.
Very good.
So moved.
I'm nervous, Dick. You have people moving next to you.
This matter was also considered by the Plan Commission on February 9th. This is an amendment to the Randall Center Plan Unit Development, and there's a long list of permitted and special uses allowed based on our B2 and our OR office research district requirements. Pet stores and small animal grooming is allowed, but veterinary services or veterinary clinics are not allowed. So what's involved here is an amendment to that original PUD for the Randall Center planned unit development, allowing veterinary clinics as a permitted use. And the Plan Commission did recommend approval of this amendment to that planned unit development.
Mr. Majewski?
My name is Jerry Majewski, and I'm the attorney for the Animal Care Clinic of Geneva. Dr. Dan Markwalder and I wanted to be present tonight. Dan is the president of Animal Care Clinic of Geneva and the spokesperson for the group of veterinarians that are going to be managing this practice and running it.
Could you give your name again and spelling? Sure. and address also, please?
Certainly. Jerome Majewski, Majewski. Yes, 101 North Virginia Street, Crystal Lake, Illinois, 60014. Dan and I just wanted to be here in case the board had any questions for either of us about the proposal.
I have a few.
Alderman Kilburg.
Thank you. A few questions. I don't think these questions surfaced during the commission hearing or the commission meeting. But I just was wondering, since you're going to be in close proximity to food establishments, is this something that's been approved by the Kane County Health Department?
To my knowledge, I don't know that the health department has vetted it. I'm not aware of anything that's been conducted, sir.
I would like, I guess, before I vote in support of it, I would like the Kane County Health Department to be open to this idea of a veterinary clinic in proximity to a food establishment. I guess my next question was, is there a common heating and cooling plant? In other words, will you be sharing heating and cooling with some of the other businesses in this complex?
Sure, I can answer that. No, our unit is completely separate as far as the heating and cooling from the other units.
And I had another question as well. Large animal. There's no reference in here to the treatment of large animals. Unless we specify that, I believe, in the ordinance, it's conceivable that we could have somebody that could be bringing a pet emu or their pet sheep or goats into that parking lot where people are dropping by 7-Eleven as well as Taylor Street Pizza picking up their calzone. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to be necessarily conducive for those businesses. Can you answer that question for me?
Even though we are licensed in the state of Illinois, all veterinarians are licensed across all animal species, but I can assure you we do not do any large animal. We are strictly a small animal, dogs, cats, and exotics. So
then I feel then it's necessary that the Geneva zoning ordinance address that, because I think that they're not that you would abuse sure. it, but I'm saying that if we permit you, then we open ourselves up to someone else that may want to treat large animals with their horse trailer pulling into a strip mall.
Yeah, I know in the past when we've done this in different municipalities, and I don't, and I, forgive me, I don't know what the requirements are in Geneva, but For instance, I have a clinic in Algonquin, and we're not even allowed within the city limits to treat.
I guess I just want some additional clarification, sure, as it relates to our ordinance that won't happen. And I'm not saying or implying, right, that would happen at your clinic, but sure. I guess my last question would be as it relates to animal waste, fluids that would be taken from these animals that are being treated, and syringes, and how are these disposed of? Will they be disposed in dumpsters, or is there some type of a special arrangement as to this disposal of these?
Yeah, we are
byproducts.
Yeah, we are regulated just like human hospitals, so those have to be picked up by a regulatory agency that disposes of those waste products.
If people are bringing animals that are sick or carrying a disease of some sort, let's say, and obviously with animals, the potential for transmitting disease are pretty great. Where you have a close proximity of a veterinary clinic to a food establishment, do you feel as though the residents that are frequenting that food establishment are put at additional risk, potentially, especially during the winter months, from exposure or additional exposure to animals that might be ill?
Yeah, I can speak to that because I've had a practice in Algonquin that was literally right next door to a pizza place for 5 years, and at no time did we ever have any issue, any problem. Most, not exclusively, but most diseases that we find in our pets are exclusive to that particular species. There are some diseases that are zoonotic. We all know about rabies and the like, but those are very rare. The risk for exposure to foods in which people can consume, I would say, I'm not going to ever say there's no risk, but the likelihood is so very, very small. There's no correlation between proximity by a veterinary clinic to any food establishment that I'm aware of that would compound that risk.
I guess I would like maybe Dick to speak to the question that I had as it relates to the size of the animals that can be treated at these clinics.
Yes, much of what's been said here was discussed at the Plan Commission, and commissioners did at least query that issue.
Is it related to the health department?
I'm sorry, the large animals.
Okay.
And it was clarified during the hearing that no large animals would be involved.
Will that be written into the ordinance, though? Or
yeah, I'm going to get there.
Okay.
if the concern is about large animals, and in fact, if the practice is such that it's not treating large animals, this is an amendment to our this planned unit development. It's not an overarching amendment to our zoning ordinance text. So we would have the ability to insert in this, if it was the pleasure of the council, language that would be something to the effect veterinary clinics not including large animals, and then get into some definition we can work out with the applicant. That might be a way to manage this and provide some added protection for your concern. And then I was just going to mention one other thing on the health department. We actually have quite a bit of experience with another clinic in town, the Millbrook Veterinary Clinic across the street from this on Randall Road on the east side of the street. It's been there since 2003, 2004. My department has never had any concern or issue surface regarding that veterinary clinic in relation to the other uses in that center. And I remember it being discussed back when that use was approved on that side of the street. Regarding these health issues, to my knowledge, there's no county health department jurisdiction over the review of this kind of facility. And so the way we would look at it from a city code perspective is as long as they are meeting the terms of all of our codes and regulations. They can exist right next to a food establishment. It's not to say that there can't be problems, but we haven't experienced any with the Millbrook Clinic across the street.
Is there, I guess I'm not familiar with it, is there a food business adjacent to it?
Well, there's a long list of allowable uses. I'm trying to remember what's in that center. I think that's the one where the...
Tia Maria's.
No,
that's
not Millbrook.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're talking about...
He's talking about Randall.
It's the center on the east side of Randall Road.
Oh, east side of Randall Road. Excuse me. Okay. Sorry.
I was just going to say Starbucks and Chipotle is in that building. Yeah. There may be some other ones in there, but those are the two that come to mind. Starbucks is maybe one lease module over, right at the north end of the building, and Millbrook I think is the third lease module over in that from the north on that side of the street. We just haven't had any issues surface regarding that use in relation to these other uses.
Alderman Marks.
Dick, I noticed in all of the meeting from the Planning Commission, there was a lot of issues about the traffic there. I mean, that strip mall in and out is very, very hard. I mean, those people make a left-hand turn, block that westbound lane, you know, all the time. I mean, have we looked at, I mean, that is always a spot where, I mean, if people don't get hit a lot, they're very, very close calls.
Looked at it, aware of it for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And we simply don't have a mechanism under which we can just impose turn restrictions on that property that wouldn't detrimentally affect all the other businesses in that strip center. We have taken the point of view of when this issue comes up, of encouraging the business people there that lease in the building to do the rear
back, yeah.
The rear entrance. I would venture to say if that development were proposed today, and I realize it's 15 or 20 years, you know, later, but if it were proposed today, that access would not be approved.
Yeah. So there's nothing we can do with that access at this point.
No, not through this process.
Not through this, but through another process.
Well, it would be a matter of really looking at the issue in greater detail and seeing if there'd be some alternative way to handle access there. There's not much room to do much of anything.
There's not. The only way in is right in, right out. Realistically.
And right in, right out, that has implications that are pretty huge. So I'm just not sure if we'd want to go there. I think it's something that we'd have to look at and really review with the tenants in that, and the owner of that center. But I think to raise that as an issue and attempt to leverage it as a part of this.
No, I just wondered if it was that intersection.
It doesn't make sense
for this, but it's probably something we do need to look into.
We're very, very much aware of the situation, but it's rather unforgiving in terms of the options.
Okay. Are we going to amend this for large animals then, or do we? I can understand Alderman Kilberg's. You know, it's not this group that we're looking at, but once we make this change, is it open it up for any veterinarian clinic?
It opens it up for any veterinary clinic located within the Randall Center PUD.
Then we probably should look at somehow putting some restrictions in this ordinance, I would think.
We could certainly prepare some language and work with the applicant on that language, if that were your pleasure.
Yeah.
My recommendation would be no food animal or equine. And that pretty much takes care of it.
Well, I'm disappointed. I want to see some Bengal tigers out there.
Done.
It'll be in your neighborhood. Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
Elephants.
That's right. That's feline.
You don't eat it.
You know, that kind of a wording would be fine with me.
No food.
I don't know if it would with Dean, but I think that makes fine.
Commercial animals for human consumption.
Commercial animals for human consumption. Okay.
Oh, you're disallowing goats? A lot of goats are consumed.
Well, even the dogs are consumed by your oriental.
Do we need to make an amendment, or how does that work at this point?
With the chair's permission and the second's permission, may I amend my motion to approve this item contingent on the staff and the petitioner getting together and adding language to the satisfaction of them that prohibits the large animals. Does the seconder and the chair agree with that changed? And we will consider that at the when it comes up at the full council meeting.
Okay.
That's good. So now that's the new motion.
So now we have to vote on that motion.
Okay. All in favor of the amended motion?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
Good luck, gentlemen.
Yes, good luck.
Thank you.
Item H, consider recommendation by Economic Development Commission regarding reestablishment of a downtown business district.
Oh.
Who's Oglesburg?
Good evening. My name is Bob Mann. I'm currently the chairman of the Geneva Economic Development Commission, and I would like to introduce some other members who are here tonight. Paul Ruby from the Harrington, Dave Gemolero from Peacock Engineering, Pat Neri is from here from Wildwood, and Brian Kay. Where is he? Oh, there he is, right behind me, from George Kay and Associates. We're here to recommend that we establish a zoo downtown, draw more customers and to the
and tigers.
Would it be a petting zoo?
A petting zoo, a lion and tigers petting zoo. It'll be first in the nation. We've made a recommendation to the council that they consider adoption of a downtown business district, and in your materials, you should have a map of a draft map anyway of an area that would be included in this downtown business district. Ellen DeVita has put together a pretty good summary of the rationale for this and the need for it in terms of finding perhaps some additional revenues to support the ongoing development and improvement of the downtown business area in light of a number of factors. The economy is certainly one. There's a number of vacancies existing in the downtown business area. There's a question as to whether or not outside interests are going to be investing in the downtown as much in the future as they are in the past, and what type of improvements might be in order. In 2010, the Illinois Municipal Code was amended in respect to the establishment of business districts. And one of the things that impressed me about their amendments was the statute itself has added some preliminary language, which probably says it better than I certainly could or that anyone else could. Somebody has written this out, and the preliminary preamble of the statute now reads, "It is essential to the economic and social welfare of each municipality that business districts be developed, redeveloped, improved, maintained, and revitalized, that jobs and opportunity for employment be created within the municipality, and that if blighting conditions are present, blighting conditions be eradicated by assuring opportunities for development or redevelopment, encouraging private investment, and attracting sound and stable businesses." The statute provides for, if a downtown business district were established, it would provide, it allow the city council to impose up to a 1% sales tax on sales of retail goods in that area, and also a sales tax on certain hospitality services, and a sales tax on the goods portion of service providers, and that tax revenue can then be put in a separate fund, which would then be dedicated to the improvements in the downtown district area that the city council would have incorporated into its plan. In addition, the revised statute allows for issuing of bonds conditioned on the payment of that out of that fund, and you can also support those bonds with up to 1% of the state sales tax portion to the city. Now, I realize the city is spending that now and probably doesn't want to pledge it for future bonds, but it would be there and it's not required that you actually do that. The thing that impresses me about this is that by establishing the downtown business district, you're setting up a vehicle for focusing attention on the needs of that particular district for a variety of reasons, private donations, grants. I suspect, based on the history of this type of legislation in other states, that the state of Illinois, if and when it ever gets out of its financial woes, will be paying more attention to this sort of thing and providing other ways in which to fund downtown development processes. We've listed in our little report here a number of possible uses of such a fund and ways in which the downtown can be looked after in terms of overall development. Right now, my count, and Ellen may correct me on this, but I think there are 59 business district designated areas in Illinois and various municipalities that do this now, and most of them do, in fact, impose the 1% sales tax, but you don't have to impose the full 1%. It's got to be in quarter increments, so it could be a quarter of 1%, half of 1%, and so on. But looking at the data, in November of 2011, the state collected, and the state collects these taxes, of course, and then redistributes them back to the city, $750,000 in revenues from those sales taxes in the various districts. So it can be a major source of additional revenue. Right now, as I understand it, the existing special service area, which is based on property tax diversions, is not paying for all of the parking and other facilities that are being imposed with that. And if there was even a quarter percent tax here, that could be used for offsetting the city's obligation there. As I understand from Ellen, the city is right now each year contributing about $100,000 or more toward the purposes that special service area was set up to do. But as I say, I think in the future, I think this is something looking down the road, but in the future, I suspect the states are going to be moving more in this direction and providing ways in which revenues can be raised for this. What I think is the important thing to do right now is to consider adopting a plan like this. It requires a public hearing, opportunity to be heard by citizens on what their views are about the downtown area, and even if somehow it's decided ultimately not to go forward with a downtown business district, at least that process will have provided a focus for community attention on what's really needed in our downtown area to make it the thriving and heavily business intensive area that we've known in the past and we'd like to probably see again in the future. So you have our recommendation. And it is simply that the City Council formally undertake to evaluate the feasibility and utility of establishing a statutory business district to encompass the commercial properties that are located on the map that we've provided you, and to do that for the purpose of providing a fund out of which monies can be accumulated to make necessary infrastructure improvements for the district as a whole, not necessarily for any particular business in the district, but for the district as a whole. And there's a number of options that the City Council would provide for itself by establishing this district, none of which are absolutely mandatory, but it would provide some tools for assisting in the redevelopment. So that's our motion. We would ask for approval of that recommendation. I don't know if Ellen wants to add anything or any of the other commissioners want to add anything. Dave here, Dave Germolero, who's with Peacock Engineering, comes from Boston. He's got a Boston accent, but you come from the former textile industry areas in Massachusetts, and could really probably enlighten us a lot on what happens in communities when the major industries start to deteriorate. And we don't want that to happen here, of course. So we just want to stay ahead of the curve. And I think this is a good way to do it, with no added cost initially, at least, to the city without further hearings. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Are there any questions about it?
Yes, thank you. I have a couple questions. You mentioned here a possible grant of $25,000, and if you indicate here that if we do not allow this process to continue on, you will withdraw the request for the grant. Now, what happens if we don't? If we do agree to allow this process to continue, and if the grant does not come forthwith anyway, what's the process there?
When the Small Cities grant cycle came through, and that's every December the grants are due, we always talk amongst ourselves for future projects that we could write a grant application for. You'll remember last year I wrote it for the Southeast Master Plan Study. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote one for this project. If the grant does not happen, if they do not award it to us, then we would come to you if you want to move forward investigating this, seeking the full dollar amount to bring a consultant in to execute the feasibility study and facilitate the redevelopment plan and project.
And this would cost somewhere in the proximity of
ballpark $20,000 to $25,000, and that was a number. Paul Nicolosi was here at our October 31st policy discussion. Uh-huh. I talked to him about several projects he had recently done from his company. I talked to Chris Aston. St. Charles just wrote one, and it was in the ballpark. It's just a ballpark number at this point. I haven't put an RFQ out. I don't have a real number for you. It's just a best estimate at the moment.
Okay.
But we were just anticipating that if we went forward, we would like to try and have the grant dollars to help.
All right, and then you indicated that there would be a 1% additional sales tax. That would be above what presently is collected at this point?
That's right. That's an option. The City Council would have that option. It wouldn't necessarily – in other words, you could establish this business district without imposing that additional tax if you elected to do that. The statute allows for that and allows it to be either a quarter of 1%, a half of 1%, 3/4, or 1% to the additional sales tax. One of the points that was discussed in the commission meeting was whether or not that additional sales tax would impair business be counterproductive, in other words, impairing business in the downtown business district. I guess the consensus of the people on the commission, the members of the commission, was that it probably would not. But that's something for the City Council to consider in the context of hearings, a public hearing that would be mm-hmm. conducted. I just want to emphasize that that's not a mandatory part of the thing. I think there are some other advantages to having the district in place with a plan in place, and that can the tax can be imposed maybe later on if necessary. But that's not a automatic. It's not automatic.
All right. Now, this revenue that you're going to be generated here, mm-hmm. Who would have control over those funds as to how they would be expended?
The fund would be segregated into a separate fund. It could be it would be expended by the city, but the city would be constrained in the uses of that fund to the purposes that are listed in the plan that would be developed in connection with establishing this district. In other words, you couldn't use it for general purposes.
Yeah.
But and so the plan is critical. I mean, if you would maybe list two or three or maybe five or a dozen separate specific things that might be done, like mm-hmm. improving the streets or streetscape or putting in, artwork, if that's mm-hmm. what one of the ideas is, something that would make the downtown more attractive. But the money would come out of a separate fund. The city would authorize its expenditure, and it could not be used for any other purpose.
I see. Well, thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clarify regarding the expenditure and the grant. This is something that we would have to budget for. We would have to show the $25,000 as a budgeted capital item, and then presumably go forward with an RFP process, but in hopes that we would obtain the grant funding from the county and be reimbursed, but then that would be up to the council to approve that. But we would have to show that as an expenditure in our budget, whether or not we are reimbursed for that. So I just wanted to make that clear to everyone. Thank you.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Bob, on the basis of the material presented and your wonderful presentation, it seems much sense to me to just proceed forward on this. Clearly talking about it more costs us nothing at this point. The first question that we're going to be asked is Alderman, of course, well, how much money are we talking about? And it seemed to me that what we might be talking about here is increasing our sales tax downtown only from 7.5% to 8%, using 0.5% instead of the full 1%, in which case we're only talking something, if I'm not wrong in the arithmetic, it's something like $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, which only begins to solve our problem but doesn't solve the whole problem. Am I right on those numbers? If I estimated, if I made a suggestion that maybe we'd use 0.5% increase for downtown from 7.5% to 8%, we're talking a number less than $100,000 a year. I was trying to figure out what the total tax base of this particular district was.
Well, there's one of the things that the commission talked about. When you set the boundaries, there are some political decisions to be made. For example, there East Peoria is going through this right now. I think it was East Peoria, and they had it set where Costco was going to have one sales tax rate and Sam's Club was going to have another, and they were trying to avoid the competition. So you need to think about like types of businesses. The map that we had here was very much a draft level. It's all the business zoning between Anderson and East Side Drive and then in the downtown. When you get to the east side, you might not want to put Aldi in because you would have it. Oh, but wait, excuse me, food is not covered.
Right.
But CVS would be.
We have a lot of non-food items.
But CVS would be. So CVS versus Walgreens. So I would think we would want to stop short there.
Right.
Those are the kinds of decisions you would make. But that said, right now we get an aggregate number from the state of sales tax collected between Anderson and East Side Drive, so including Aldi, and it's about $950,000 a year. So, and that's equal to the 1%. Of the municipal tax that we bring back is equal to 1% of sales. So it could conceivably produce up to $500,000 if you did it with 0.5%.
I did my arithmetic wrong.
Okay.
So we could even be talking about 0.25% and still be solving the basic problem we have with not being able to fund all the things we'd like to do to help our downtown.
Well, and that's the point of the plan. If you list out, we'd like over the next 20 years to have X number of dollars for public art, X number of dollars for streetscape or water main improvement or electric utility upgrades. You know, we've got some blocks downtown where they were homes and it's a 110 service. You know, Biantrucha went to expand and they only had 110 service on the whole block. Those are the type
familiar
of things.
Familiar with these problems.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a great argument then that we should proceed ahead thinking about this because it does have the potential with a small increase to solve a lot of the problem that we have.
And from the plan, you would guesstimate what you would spend and then you would back into that number. Yeah.
Thank you.
Alderman Volgesberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mann, and maybe this is for you, Alan, just to play devil's advocate, how do you explain to a small business why this would be beneficial to them? Why, let's say that was one of the tools we used to raise the tax a percentage. What will they get from that? How will it benefit them?
I think, well, there's two answers to that question. My answer and then maybe a more speculative answer. My answer is that if I look at Geneva as a whole, and the downtown business district in particular, what I see are fewer people shopping, fewer people coming into the downtown area, regardless of which store they might be destined for. And I think one of the objectives here is to just simply make the downtown business area more attractive for more business. So the individual property owner, the individual business owner, will probably not see a specific improvement in their situation. In fact, I think fair to say the consensus of the commission was that the plan not include specific improvements for specific properties. But I think the idea that there's, you know, maybe one day when we've accumulated enough money through this process when we can have more of an avenue down here with people actually sitting on benches in the streets, you know, along and just having a nice place to shop will benefit your potential constituent, I think. That's my view, and I think that's the sense of the whole thing.
But if I could, I'm sorry to jump at him, but if I can just amplify or so you mentioned that the specific small business won't get a direct benefit, mm-hmm. but I think they get an indirect benefit from the fact that the funds generated are used to strengthen the downtown, the very environment and climate in which they're doing business. So the benefit is there, just not necessarily direct.
And I'm sure that many of you, like me, have visited other communities that are probably newer than Geneva, perhaps newer communities, and it just seems sometimes like there's a more of an air of activity and excitement in the area that maybe we haven't quite kept up with here. That's the whole idea.
I shop in Geneva, Bob.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Geneva, as you know.
I think
there's some general refurbishing. Probably one of the challenges for the study will be to justify the establishment of the district under the criteria of the state. Now, one reason in our recommendation, we're not excluding the possibility of setting up a new TIF. But in order to have a TIF, you have two downside problems. One is that you've got to prove that there's blight. And blight is a term that is defined in the statute. And that's a tough hurdle to cross. And the other problem with the TIF, of course, is that then you have to involve other taxing districts, a school district, park district, and so on, and they get a say in the process. Whereas with this, you don't have to do that. And although the statute refers to blight, it's in the exception. It says, and if there is blight, then you can do other things, but you don't have to show blight in order to establish one of these business districts.
Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bob, that's a very great idea. I support it 100%. I do have a question for Ellen, however, and on Anderson Boulevard. It's not identified on the map, or is it there and we haven't seen it or hasn't been named, or do we go all the way to Anderson and State Street?
When I was referring to Anderson, I was referring to State and Anderson.
Ah.
Right now, the department considers the Central Business District as everything from Anderson to Eastside Drive.
Right.
And so that's the area we would start to look at for feasibility, and then you start to pare it down based on need and inequalities that you could create.
Okay. Well, I see Richard Street there, then I see another vertical line.
Oh, you know, that map was hard to look at. It's just the zoning districts, though.
Okay.
And it is business zoned.
So Anderson is included.
Yeah, it is.
Exclude
Thank you.
Those folks. Thank you very much. Wonderful plan.
Yep. Alderman Malatra.
So in addition to the indirect benefit that I think that will accrue to the small business owner, something else that Mr. Mann just said, blight is not a required condition here, and we don't want to get to a point where blight is even an issue. So I think it's especially important that we do this in order to stay ahead of the curve and be proactive. All too often we find ourselves reacting to a bad situation. I think sometimes we think that we can, you know, wait until something becomes absolutely unavoidable and necessary and we can take action and change the situation overnight. And a lot of things that happen takes a long time to change direction. So in this case, we have positive momentum downtown. Maybe it's starting to slow a little bit, but we have to take advantage of whatever momentum is still there and keep it going. So I think that this district will help us do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have another question, Ellen. Apparently, if there's an increase in sales tax and that tax goes to the state, is there any way to assure that the state of Illinois doesn't steal any of that money from us like they're doing now? thieves down there?
Let me answer that. We have a plan. Part of that plan would be an enforcer.
Good. I'll buy the gun.
I hire an enforcer. And the interesting thing is that the cost of the enforcer can come out of the fund.
So right.
Not a liability.
Thank you very much, sir.
And I just wanted to ask if any of the other commissioners would like to make a comment of any.
I want to thank the commission. You'll recall I came October 31st and asked the council to consider this, and I said there's a lot of powers, and if we don't want to even look there, let's not even go there. And you said let's have the commission vet it. And the commission really put a lot of brain power to this. I sent them homework for quite a while. They read a lot of articles, and as you can tell, they're very well-versed in this right now. And they actually took the recommendation that I made a step further in saying that they think we should look beyond the business district to any tool that's available out there. I just want to clarify that distinction, because I had made the recommendation just the business district, and the commission feels we need to look at whatever's out there to help us and layer it. And you'll recall when Paul Nicolosi from the Buckley Companies was here, that was one of the things he said, the layering too. For example, a TIF, you know, there's the potential to just extend the east side TIF down to the river to help in the mill race area, and it's a short, there's only 10 years left on the TIF. So it would be more palatable to the taxing bodies because you're looking at a shorter term, but it's going to take a lot of money to fix the mill race area. So and what is currently available to us as a sales tax abatement or abatement of building permit fees, we really have $30,000 maybe to give them. That's not much money when you're looking at $500,000 for improvements. Okay.
Can I ask a second question, Mr. Chairman? Ellen? Say we approve this tonight. What do you see as the next logical step to go forward?
Well, the next step would be we would put a request in the budget for you to have the $25,000 line item. And I would probably do a little more research to make sure that's the best number available to us. But whatever number it is would go into the budget as a request. And then when the new budget year came around, May 1, we would release an RFQ and choose a qualified consultant.
Short of waiting for that to go through and waiting for a consultant to show up, is there anything else we could do in the meanwhile?
Begin to talk to the business community to get their thoughts on projects and ideas for a plan. But I think that we should establish the eligibility first, mm-hmm. not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, Bob made the point. There's a couple of different things. One is you have to establish the eligibility. The other is exactly which of the recommendations you want to take and how do you want to firm those up in terms of what percentage are we talking about, et cetera. Or do you think that's something you really want to wait for the consultant in order to start firming up the details?
I think we would work with the consultant to do it. I really do. If you wanted to amend the budget for this year to start the process sooner, that's always your prerogative. Mary's saying no. but you know, it's almost May 1. It truly is. You know, we're 90 days away. We've got March and April, 60 days.
And when does the business district end now?
Is actually almost the whole length of state.
What year does it?
Oh, I'm sorry, 2013.
So we're really right on the cusp of it, right?
Correct. And that's why we were stating it as a reestablishment. But by state statute, if you ever put the sales tax in, you have to go through the whole process again because there's a public hearing component. So if we did this right now without a sales tax and we decided to add it later, we'd have to go through the whole reestablishment process again.
And yeah. Would you have to if you, Mr. Chairman, if that's all right, I kind of jumped in. Quarter increments, you said, or you said that you could do that. If you did that, how big of a span would you have, or would you have to just go to... You know what I'm saying? Would you incrementally do it, and would it take more effort to do it incrementally, smaller at smaller steps, or would it be best to go into half?
It was my understanding when we met with Paul, and I'll ask Mary and the mayor to chime in because they were at a meeting before council, that you establish it with the number known in advance and it's set, and you don't vary it through the whole length of the...
So you have to choose between a quarter and a half when you go through the process.
Right, that's right. And I'll point out one of the things in the packet, there was a sales tax spreadsheet there. Did you see that from all the other communities?
Yeah.
St. Charles has a 2% on liquor. So our restaurants still have a greater advantage because they would be under the 9.5 that is charged if you're dining with liquor. The one product category, the commission talked about this, larger item purchases could be at a disadvantage, and that would be banquets, weddings, and furniture.
you know, the great, the larger purchases are the ones that would be hit the most. Otherwise, it's a dollar on a $100 purchase.
Is this like some other taxing bodies where you could say a half but not actually request a half each year? You could go through it a half and actually request a quarter the first year, like we did in the SSA before we put it to the max. In other words, you don't have to actually request the maximum each year.
Chuck, I think the...
That's a detail problem.
I think it's a detail problem. I think there's two things that have to be thought about in parallel. One is the type of projects that you feel as a council, after input from the community, ought to be undertaken. And the second is how you would, you know, finance those over a period of time. But as my understanding from reading it, and I think we'd have to have the city attorney contemplate that, once you set the rate, then you would have to have another set of hearings to change that rate. That rate would be fixed, and it would be year after year after year until you changed it, either to eliminate it or to increase it. What I understand other counties have done.
Or reduce it.
Yeah. What other towns have done, I believe, or I have understood, and I'm not an attorney in this respect, but what they might authorize the 1%, but only levy a quarter of it.
That's what I was
as a hedge against having to hold hearings in the future.
You can actually levy less than the.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. I don't think the commission nor do I endorse that approach necessarily. I think but you could do that. I think.
That's an attorney question.
Well, we'll have an arbitration. Thank you.
We'd have to check that before we...
Well, you'll have to check that, yeah. You know, I think the thing that needs to be done is to think about this and think about the types of projects that you would list in the plan. Because that, to me, I mean, I think depending on how attractive those projects are, it's going to be easier or less easy to get a tax authorization, frankly. You know, I think a lot of businesses would probably... support some things, maybe not other things.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Ellen?
One more comment. The Downtown Master Plan is going to have a list of projects, too, and these would be eligible, so that would be a good source to start looking at also. And the council will see the draft plan in the next 60 days, probably.
And can I, regarding the map, so all the ones that are outlined in, I want to, for all practical purposes, teal.
Yeah.
Is that or blue?
Paul was wearing teal shirt.
I don't know.
Too.
It looks like teal to me. Anyway, those are the district, or that's the district you're actually targeting now.
To start to look at.
That's the starting
point.
Thank you.
Well, and it's all the business zones in the center of town.
You've picked everything that has any business zoning of any kind.
Yeah, that is what it is. Because that's what
it looked like you had CVS in there, so I didn't.
It is in there because it would split the district.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Any other questions, comments?
We have a motion in a second.
All in favor on moving forward?
Aye.
Recommendation?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Alderman Dantino? He's gone.
Let him move with this.
Okay. Motion passes. On to new business.
Cheers, me.
Any? Okay. New business. Any?
I have, if I can just put my plug in for Pasta for Posies.
Yes.
I only have a week and a half left, so if I can do that, I would appreciate it. Pasta for Posies, and speaking of downtown, that is one of the areas that we beautify. And so, your support is really needed. All you can eat, spaghetti supper. March 7th, Wednesday from 5 to 8 at the Riverview Banquets. That's on Route 25, right off of Fabian Parkway. Tickets are available for $10 for for adults, $5 for children. If you purchase them prior to the event, at the door it'll be $12 for adults and $6 for children. Tickets are available at Geneva Chamber of Commerce, City Hall, Geneva History Center, Graham's 318, the Olive Mill, Riley Drugs, and Geneva Ace Hardware. If you also go on to plant, www.plantgeneva.org, you'll find out all the information about our event. And I
have
tickets.
That's next week.
Nope, not next week, but the week after. We have a week and a half yet, so it's not next week, Wednesday. Yeah, it's the third.
Let's not argue.
And then it's a week and a half.
Really?
So anyway, I have tickets available here, and I also want to make a plug for our Geneva Beautification Cookbook. We still have a lot left, and we would like to sell them. So, and there are really exciting recipes in it, and I hear that during our event we're going to have some a bake sale, and so some of those recipes will be in the book. So come one, come all. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Singer. Or Gilbert, sorry.
Does that mean we plug new businesses?
You can.
Actually, if we're talking about new businesses, we do have a new business on the east side. It's in the fifth ward, not the third ward. But I'd like to encourage everyone, if they have the opportunity, to visit Jose Maria's. Actually, the signs, the red signs that have been there for 25 years have been taken down. We have new signs, and they're looking for good Mexican food. I encourage them to check it out.
Cool. Good.
That's new business, right?
That's new business. Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Council members, you have a packet in front of you, a little velvet packet. Inside is our new pewter ornament that we just received, our 2012 pewter ornament. It's a script of City Hall on the front side. On the back, it says 2012 Geneva City Hall 100th Anniversary, City of Geneva. And we will be recommending that one of these be placed in the next 100-year time capsule that we will be celebrating our centennial this May 19th. I confiscated Alderman Marks's.
I accused him.
So, anyway, these are for sale at our city store for $12 each. They're available to the public, and I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you. Please don't miss our next Committee of the Whole meeting, March 12th. Is there a motion to adjourn? Alderman Singer? A second?
Second.
Alderman Hill? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.